All right, good evening. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. Even on Super Bowl Sunday, you're here. Enjoy a time with our church family. We're looking forward later in the service to hearing from three brothers as they bring us the word. And as we continue in our series in Proverbs, we'll be in Proverbs chapter 4 as we continue with our preachers in training on Sunday evenings and look forward to hearing from them. Before we get to that point, we'll have some singing here, a testimony, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that here in a minute. A couple of quick announcements I just want to draw your attention to. Tomorrow evening, the counseling and discipleship training continues with the topics of husband and wife roles in the home. And so what does the Bible say about the husband and wife roles in the family? And it goes right along with what we're learning on Sunday mornings with our family series that we've been doing. And there's lots of other things, but this is a great need to be able to hear what the truth of God's word says about the family, because in our culture, it is under attack. And so knowing what the truth says and knowing the way that the Lord has designed the family is an important thing there. So if you're not already attending, you want to attend that, that will be tomorrow evening. The senior tea, coffee and tea continues to meet on Wednesday mornings for a time of fellowship there. Several things happening out at the camp coming up. We are thankful for several of our kids that signed up for camp this year, and we are excited about that. Thank you for your generosity in donating to help them go to camp. I think the number is 27 of our kids that will be helping to go to camp, and so that's a huge blessing, and we want to continue to be praying for them. Next weekend, our teens will be out there for the Winter Revolution Camp, and they'll be out there Friday through Sunday. So we want to continue to pray for them as they're out there and that they will be able to enjoy their time and that the Lord will use that to impact their lives as we go along. Other things happening in the life of the church, there's lots of people to minister to, lots of people that need encouragement or who have been encouraged and so on. And so we want to continue to be the body of Christ. We don't want to just do church. We want to be the church, and that involves getting to know one another and ministering to one another. So up next, we'll have Dave come and lead us in some singing. After that, Cody's going to come and share his testimony. On the first Sunday of every month in the morning, we have been hearing the testimonies of those in the congregation when we've continuing in our theme, Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So. And on Sunday evenings, the second Sunday of the month, we're going to also hear from some of you. So if you want to be a part of that and continue to share your testimony, see Pastor Brad. He's organizing that and give you the details on that. So we're thankful to be able to hear these stories and to hear how the Lord has worked in the lives of our people. And we encourage to go and share the good news of the gospel to those around us. And so we'll hear from Cody a little bit later, and then Pastor will come up and introduce our study tonight. So let me start with a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Dave. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for the church and the opportunity we have to be a part of the family of God. We're so thankful that we are able to be a part help each other to live this Christian life, to live in community with one another. We're thankful for an opportunity to meet here in this comfortable setting and to hear from your word and to hear testimony of how you've worked in people's lives and to sing praises to your name, Lord. And I pray that we never take this for granted. There are people all over the world that have to do this in secrecy, who have to do this with the threat of persecution and punishment, severe punishment, or have to do this in uncomfortable areas that just do whatever they can to get together. And you have blessed us so richly here in America, but particularly here at WBC. We thank you for continuing to provide for us. And I pray that we would continue to fulfill our mission of making disciples locally and worldwide. Lord, I pray that you would just be with this service this evening. Allow us to bring honor to your name. Allow us to be encouraged by the word of testimony and the singing that we do. And then also, I pray that we'd be challenged by the book of Proverbs as these three men come and give us your word. To be with them as they bring the sermons that they have prepared. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow them to enjoy this type of ministry. And we thank you for life and breath and everything. We ask all this in your son's precious name. Amen.
You need to look around you and find one of these gray books. It's a hymnal. And what I'd like us to do is take just a moment. If you don't practice this, this is just a suggested practice. I think it'll really help you. When you come into a service like this in a gathering, public gathering of God's people to worship and sing and receive from the Word, somebody told me this once, you just got to get in front of the desk and open the drawer and take all the stuff scattered all around and just throw it all in the desk drawer and shut it, and it might be a little hard to shut if you got a lot going on, and come with an open and a clear heart and mind. And then as we sing these words, we're just going to sing a couple of hymns. They'll mean something to you. You're not just mouthing words, but I want you to really just soak in the beautiful truth of the word, the two songs we're going to sing. And then our brothers are going to come and share the word, and we're going to hear a testimony. And when you can just be fully here and present with all that, it just makes all the difference. So I encourage you just to do that. Let's just take, Joe, why don't you just play through the first song one time, and then we'll start singing number 404 is what we're going to do. We're going to do 404 and 405, the marked verses. But I'm going to let Joe play through the solid rock one time while you kind of just get yourself here. And prepare your hearts for this. Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Verse 3. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On the last, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, all blessed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And we rest upon that rock by faith. My faith has found a resting place. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Verse 2. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. died for me. Let's sing the refrain a cappella. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Amen. Thank you. So, I'm going to give my testimony, and it starts with I've been coming here my whole life. I grew up here, and I also grew up at a camp, Side Hills Christian Camp. So I've always been a camp kid, which is where my mom and dad work at the camp, and I get to just run around and be a little hooligan. I grew up here. I listened to God, and I was like around 8 or 7 when my neighbor, I called him Grandpa Bruce, even though he wasn't my grandpa, and then also Grandma Patty was his wife, but they weren't. So he died unexpectedly, and that started my gears turning. It got me thinking. So, like, I don't want to go to hell. Like, a little 8-year-old me was just terrified of not going to hell. That's the only thing I was concerned with. So, that happened. And then I said a prayer late that night. I talked to my dad, and I just remember that. So then, kept going, and I kept coming to church. And I kind of just went through the motions, though. Like, I was like, oh, I know the correct answer is Jesus, God, hallelujah. That was Sunday school answers, but maybe not hallelujah. So it wasn't until, like, actually last summer that God really worked in me, because I started liking a girl, which is weird. Oh, ew. But... I started liking a girl this summer, and she did not like me at the time, and that really threw me off, because it just made me think, like, God, why would you do that? I didn't know how to feel. There's more to that story with, like, but I don't really want to get into that, but basically, it was after soccer practice, late one night. I was just thinking to myself, it was really tough. I talked to a lot of people, like, going through that, because I really did like this girl, and I remember talking to Gary Storm was one, really good. Tons of people really helped me, but, so it was late after soccer practice. I was just feeling miserable, and I remember going to the nurse's station where my mom was, and something just motivated me to, like, oh, I'll just go to the chapel, which was, like, not that far to walk. It was, like, maybe a minute, and I could hear the people were starting to sing already, so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll just go to the chapel. It'll be fun. It'll be good for me. And I was walking just by myself, and I was walking along the dam path. No, I wasn't cursing. It's the dam. But I was just looking. I was looking out at the lake, and it's really cool at the camp. You can, like, be like a mile away, and you can hear people singing, or you can even, if it's, like, quiet enough, you can hear the message just sitting on your front porch. So I was hearing the campers singing, and I was just looking out at God's creation, and I just remember thinking, God, you are so cool that, like, you made, like, the lake and the trees, and that I can just be outside and hear people praising you. And that was really cool, and I kept walking up to the chapel, area. And I, as I got there, the entire time I was thinking, God, you're so cool. And I saw another camp kid up there. She was like, she just had her hand up and she was praising God. And she was eyes closed, just completely singing and worshiping God. And I just kept thinking, man, God, you're so cool, because she's a pretty stubborn person. And it made me really happy, like, to know that like the younger camp kids were strong in the word. And so I sat down beside her, and as the pastor was, so the music, of course, was talking about trials that we go through, which is like, okay, God, that's ironic that you so happen to talk about that. But then also the pastor, the messenger, he also talked about trials, and it was actually, it was cool to, I was thinking, and I was like, man, God, you planned this from the beginning, because I was still struggling, and the reality check that people, the camp makes, like, months beforehand was 1 Peter 1:3-9, and it talks about trials, the tested genuineness of your faith, and it talked about trials that we go through in life, and I just kept thinking, man, God, you're so cool that... I just so happened to chose to come sit here because of you, and I'm sitting here, and the guy in front of me is talking about trials. And then midway as the pastor was giving his message, I just remember, I was still thinking, God, you're so cool the entire time, but I just looked up at the moon, and it was shining really bright, and I was just lost in emotions and words. And then a breeze came over, and I felt the breeze came by, and I felt a hand on my shoulder, and there was like no one around me, really. I looked around, I was like, there's no one here. And then I just felt a hug from behind, and these tears of joy, but it was really cool I knew it was God. He was just hugging me, just letting me know everything's going to be okay, and I love you. And that was, it really changed my life right there at that moment. After that, I remember I was just crying. I was a mess. And I after the message, I talked to him, and I was like, thank you to the pastor for preaching that, because he had no idea what that meant to me. He was just preaching. And that's pretty much it. It was mainly just trials that we go through in life and learning to depend on God. And it gave me, this past summer gave me a hunger to want to actually read my Bible and, like, pray. Prayer was a big thing. I prayed every day during the summer. And it still was tough after even that moment where God hugged me, basically. It still was tough. I still struggled just with, like, just being sad, basically. But that's pretty much it. God really changed my life there. And my testimony is still ongoing. It's still like a continuous thing. But that was really cool.
Cody, thank you so much for sharing that. It's a reminder to us that being a Christian is not a transaction, an event that happened in the past. I mean, it's a relationship. And I was so appreciated. Cody came up to me after I preached that message in the first Sunday of January about speaking up and sharing. He says, I have a story. And so thank you. And thank you for writing it out. He sent it to me this week. And thank you for, you didn't even have to read it. Like, that was really impressive. You just got up here and shared it. That was great. So thank you. To God be the glory. The preachers in training, we got three men that are coming tonight, but I wanted just to say this. Men, if you're interested in seeing the preachers in training being a part of that, see me afterwards. This is the book that we're using, Preaching with Purpose by Jay Adams, that talks about preparing expository messages. And come afterwards tonight. If you're thinking about this, come. We'll be back in room 108, and we're going to just keep it to 15 minutes tonight, but come and just observe as we interact following these three messages tonight. We'd love to have other brothers join us for that process. So, Father, thank you for the night. Thank you for Cody's story, which is your story. We are your workmanship, as Paul says, and we celebrate, we rejoice at how you take our own from our church family here. And there's this privilege of being familiar with biblical truth, but the challenge is it can just be a familiarity. Thank you for how you're working in Cody's life, that it's not just words on a page, it's not just a statement that a church believes, but you're becoming real to him, and you're demonstrating that in wonderful ways in his life. So for him and all of our young people, we say thank you, and please bless. Thank you so much for your word. The book of Proverbs is a father to sons, a truth that we need to hear tonight. So would you use Aaron and Douglas and Jason as they open the word, and our hearts are wide open because we want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a little bit more height on that. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4 this evening, if you turn there with me. Starting in verse 10, and I'm reading from the ESV. We'll read through it first and we'll talk about it. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. So tonight, we are all on a path. Where you've been, where you are right now, and where you're going. No matter how old, no matter how young, we are on a path, a journey, a road trip. And speaking of road trips, who knows what this is? Okay. See, the teens already left. I was going to see exactly how many of them knew what it was. Ancient manuscript. And who knows how to use one, right? So, bringing all my toys tonight. It was actually hard to find that. Thank you to Wilma and Dennis for lending me one from 2003. So, was anybody here, on that note, a AAA member? Do you remember going and getting a triptych? Oh, yeah. Yep, with a little book that's about the length of your leg, and it had a hand-drawn, hand-highlighted map. Yep. And now we have things like this. Either you have one, or you have it in your car, or you use this dreaded thing, right? Just to get directions. And by the way, AAA does still do the triptychs. You just have to get them by mail. I found that out by doing this research. So, I forgot. I actually put this in my notes. Make sure if you don't have one of these, because cell phone service is spotty, get one of these. This is a standalone GPS. It doesn't have to be this big. This is my tech tip for 2024. Many times I'm out somewhere and I don't have cell phone service and I don't know how to get out of there. I don't want to get home. This will get you home because all the maps are preloaded. They're about $100, so there you go. So, but the ease of how we get our directions is stunning to me. Whether you're on the road or off the road or in the air even, we used to use the sun and the location of the stars and the planets and magnetic compasses and maps. And now we have databases of maps all over the world, that are in here, or they're downloaded to a phone in real time, and they take that data and they match it up with your location from 31 satellites at 11,000 miles above the Earth to triangulate your position, your speed, your altitude, all to give you an estimated time of arrival to wherever you want to go. Even factors in like traffic and road conditions, depending on the model you have, and the weather. And we have all of this, and yet we still get lost. I was going to tell you a story about the first time I ever tried to use one of these standalone GPSs down here where the maps hadn't really been developed yet, because I didn't know that. I bought it 15 years ago, or 20 years ago. And I'm not going to go into the story, but let's just say you cannot get to Carter Caves through a cornfield. Just true story. But wouldn't it be amazing if God, you know, gave us some sort of, I don't know, written direction for life, you know, that we could follow while we're here on the earth? And all kidding aside, let's look deeper in these passages. Verse 10, hear my son and accept my words that the years of your life may be many. Now, we see that, and in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, it's pretty much like the pastor said, written from a father to a son, or an older person imparting wisdom to someone younger. You know, accept my words so that the years of your life may be many. Are we being told that ingesting godly wisdom will supernaturally lengthen our lives? If you're coming here Sunday morning, that your days are going to be a little bit longer because you're listening to Pastor Brad preach? No, it's more along the lines of God's plan for your life, God's path will keep you from going down the roads that could make your life shorter. So, you know, the dumb things that can cut our life short. God's wisdom helps us make right decisions. Verse 11 and 12, I've taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. This path or way of wisdom is my main topic tonight. It's very important and a very important theme in Proverbs. Let me give you a few examples. Proverbs 1, 15 and 16, my son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. That's talking about a bad path. You can't figure that out. It's Proverbs 2:20. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. It's talking about a good path. And just one more. Proverbs 3:23. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. Once again, talking about walking a good path. But you may say to me tonight, but Aaron, I feel like I'm on the right path. That's a good thing, right? And well, there's wisdom in Proverbs for that too. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Now this is something we need to pay attention to. And how do I know? Because as I was studying, this is repeated word for word in Proverbs 16, and it's paraphrased in chapter 21, a way that ends in death. You may feel just right, but you're heading down a path of destruction. You can be completely on the wrong path and feel great about it. And that's because it's not affecting you now. You haven't reached the destination on this path that you're on. The sin that you're playing with today will become an addiction in a year. That thought you indulge in now, it's going to become a practice in another couple of years. And we live in a world where how you feel is more important than the truth. Do I need to give examples of that? Just turn on the news. I feel like this, or I identify this way, even when it's not the truth. We need the truth. But if you can't trust your feelings, what do you trust? What can you trust? Well, I go back again to this book. Thankfully, the Bible spells out the truth regardless of our feelings. Now, I'm not saying that feelings are not good. God is a God of feelings. It says in Psalm 37:13 that he laughs. Well, if we are created in his image and he's the one laughing, he created us to have those feelings. But when we're talking about godly wisdom and walking the right path of life, you know, if it's wrong in this Bible, I have to believe that it's wrong no matter how I feel. And if the Bible says it's right, well, I have to live in a way that agrees with that, even if my feelings don't agree. Make sense? And I'll say this, even if my family and friends don't agree. This is the truth. So my question is this, what path are you on tonight? Where is your journey taking you? And only you can answer that, because we may see something, but, you know, what's in your heart I can't see. Nobody can see. But the good news is, if you're on a bad path, you don't have to stay on it. God gives us a choice about that path. He doesn't tell us about walking a righteous path and not give us a way to do it. That's not how he is. So we can get some godly wisdom like we're doing tonight. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, in the King James, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get some godly guidance from people who've been there, who know the truth. You know, we have a great counseling ministry here at WBC. We do. And even if it's not that, we have a lot of people here with a lot of wisdom. You know, we need to talk to one another. And then we also need to lead others on this path. And parents, grandparents, look at verse 11 again. It says, I've taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the path of uprightness. Don't just tell them. Show them. Lead them. Lead them with how you live your life. You know, it bugs me when I see a parent punish a child for something that they just did not 2 minutes ago. You know, you can't be swearing every other word and smack your kid in the face when he does it, right? Lead them. Good navigational directions are one thing. The way you know that you are on the right path usually is that you can see the tracks of other people or other vehicles. We always say gator tracks out at camp. So that's how you know you're on the path. But one final thing, and probably the best thing, because all this seems a little overwhelming when you have to, there's a lot of wisdom here. How do I navigate? What do I do? Praise God, the answer is easy. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You want to know the path, everybody? It's Jesus. He says, I'm the way. Start with him. Start with trusting him, believing in him, following him with everything you've got. Conform your life to the one who saved you and the one who showed us all by example how to live and how to treat others. And one last familiar passage from Proverbs in conclusion, 3:5-6 out of the New King James says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The best path you can be on is the way, and that way is Jesus. If you know him, that's great. Keep on knowing him and keep on telling others about him. But if you don't, please don't leave here. Even if you do know him and you just know something's not right on the path you're walking, don't leave here. I know there's some sort of sporting event going on, I think. But some things are a lot more important than that. Don't leave here without knowing who's guiding your path this evening. Amen.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Cody, too. I don't know if he's still here, but thank you. It's following the... Oh, ah. When I play basketball, I dreamed that to be that high. Well, it's just God humble me, right? So my verse is 4:13-17. So here we go. Proverbs 4:13-17, we'll see a father passing on to his son a group of advice to life preservation and protection that I'm calling the survival kit. I don't know if you ever read something about the military or about a soldier, about there's something about soldiers in the way that they live their lives, to lay their lives down, their lives to others, that it just is impressive. And here is a father bringing his son to think about life. And there's a battle, and their struggles, and he's trying to prepare his son to be ready, to be ready. So on the survival kit, this is the main idea. Wisdom is a great resource given by God, Proverbs 2:6, who allowed us reminders from others to help us to fight the battles against sin and evil ways, the wicked man that surrounds us. The wisdom is a great resource given by God who allows us to remind us from others to help us to fight the battles against sin, evil ways, and the wicked man that surrounds us. And this kit is divided in four plans. And these plans are plan one, action plan, plan two, protective plan, plan three, the escape plan, and the plan four, the warning plan. Lace and I were watching a show about special forces that bring these celebrities to be trained by Navy SEALs. So all my lingo is by getting this influence from this show. So there you go, my points, action plan, protective plan, escape plan, warning plan. Let's read the passage. Hold on to instruction, do not let go. Guard it well, for it's your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evil man. Avoid it, do not travel on it, turn from it, and go on your way, for they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So there you go. The first plan for our kids' survival is the action plan. And here we see three actions that will help us to be prepared to fight our battles against sin, against the evil man, and against the wicked path. Hold on. Hold on. His dad is telling him to be, hold on to this wisdom. In verse 7, he says, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. So he already obtained some kind of wisdom. His dad taught him. His dad heard from his grandpa, David. So there you go. Hold on. Hold on. Grasp, persist, take action to train and pass on to others, especially on those younger ones. What is something that Solomon has given to his son that will help him in the battles against evil and sin and the evil ways? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Lay hand earnestly, effort with your whole heart, Proverbs 4:4, and feel and find great reward on it. You will be blessed if you hold on to this truth, to this wisdom. You'll be prepared, you'll be trained hard to be prepared to take action when it's needed. Action two, do not let go. So now you hold on, but you do not release. Do not let go from that truth, from that wisdom. Do not lose sight, be close of it. Do not forget, do not stop caring about wisdom. Keep growing, keep exercising wisdom. Daily, keep persisting and keep going. Action three, guard. Be ready to guard. The defensive state or attitude, the action of duty to protect, to defend, to watch over. Guard wisdom. He gave us a location where the wisdom is stored, that is in your heart, verse 23. So protect your heart, guard your heart. Guard wisdom because wisdom is always under attack. Guard wisdom because your life depends on verse 13. Verse 13 says there, for it's your life. In Portuguese, Bible says, because your life depends on it. There's great wisdom to meditate on the last days. And soldiers are reminded any day can be the last day. So when they go to battles, they have to write a death letter or a very hard letter where they have to tell the loved ones about how much they love them, about some mistakes they had. And this father is trying to him to tell his son, look, look to your life short. Protect it, guard. Second action plan, plan for this kid survive was protect, a protective plan that his dad gave, that Solomon gives us here. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the ways of the evildoers. Do not enter, do not follow the same way, do not go the same directions. My son, do not go along with them, do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. Later on, the Bible says that the bad company corrupts what? Good character. So here's his dad telling his son to avoid, to protect your life by not following some path, a wrong path, a path that does not belong to God. And he's here, he says, the way of the wicked, the evildoers, in Proverbs 2, 12 to 15 says, this, the way of the wicked is full of words of evil words, who leave the straight path, who walk in dark, delight into the wrongs, rejoice in doing evil. Their paths are crooked and devious ways. His grandpa, David, tells in Psalm 1, 1 and 2, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So Solomon was passing on to his son something that he heard from his dad. Something that he's holding on, that he's not letting go, that he's guarding. Now he's passing on to protect his son's life. And third plan here on the survival kit is the escape plan. Avoid, do not travel on, do not turn from it, go on your way. This escape plan is divided into four actions that will help us in our survival, in our life, and help us in our battle against sin and evil ways and the evil man. Action one is avoid. Our heart, it's very easily to get into the closest that we can get without being burned. Let's put it like that. His dad is telling here, avoid it. Do not even get close to it. Do not go, action two. Even if the proposal that you're receiving, it's very beautiful to the eyes or very beautiful to the ears, do not go. Turn away is the third action to this escape plan. Avoid sinful situations. Do not go or pass as far as possible from it. Turn away. It means that if you are going to be tempted, be reminded to the way of God and turn to his way. And the fourth action here is verse 14 says, 15 says, pass on or travel on it or pass beyond. Pass as far as you can, run from this evil. Run from this evil. Paul later on says that God is faithful, right? That he will not let us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, but he will provide a way of escape. Here is his dad telling to avoid And later on in chapter 5, he will put this into practice when he brings the warning against adultery. And he will tell his son, avoid, do not go, turn away, pass beyond. And the last and final plan here for this kid is warning plan. Verse 16 and 17, for they cannot sleep, they will go, they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. This enemy, the sin that we have, the evil ways, the wicked path, this enemy is always on the search. They cannot rest. They will be always looking for to someone to stumble. Their satisfaction or lack of satisfaction is found where? On their, they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence. They are vicious enemies and they are not here to treat you well. They are always being fed with more and more wickedness and filling themselves with violence. Be careful. Be ready. Do not undermine them, but use wisdom to not be taken, to not be a victim of their actions. Wisdom is a great resource given by God, who allowed us, remind us from others to help us to fight the battle against sin and the evil ways and the wicked man that surrounds us.
Thank you, guys. So I've entitled mine, Choose the Right Path, the Path of Light versus the Path of Darkness. Aaron also talked about a path, so his was the actual path. This is it illuminated kind of thing. So so choose the right path, Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. In the book of Proverbs, thus far, we have seen contrast between the path of righteousness and the path of wickedness. We have been encouraged to get wisdom in Proverbs 4 verses 5 and 7, and to prize her highly. We've been shown that the beginning of wisdom is fearing God in Proverbs 1:7, and that we should continually strive for wisdom and understanding. Even outside of Proverbs, in Job 28:28, it says there, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding. And understand that this passage is quoting God directly, so he's giving instruction directly to man on how to turn away from evil, and that is understanding. And that's the way that we can get wisdom and understanding. Psalm 1, 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And then to contrast that, in verses 5 and 6, it goes on to say, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So this too gives us insight into the contrast between the path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. Throughout Proverbs, we have seen the difference between wise actions and foolish ones. What are wise choices and which are not? The entirety of Scripture gives example after example of the blessings of choosing the right path compared to choosing the wrong path and the consequences of that. So as we come to this section of Proverbs, we will see a contrast that's literally black and white. It's between the path of righteousness and the path of the wicked. As we work through verses 18 and 19, we will see that there truly is a very practical application for us today. So let's read the passage. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness, they do not know over what they stumble. So in this passage, what we're first shown is that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, and that's verse 18. Each step in righteousness sheds more light on one's path, like the dawning of the sun. So I have a picture to help you picture what I'm talking about. Picture, if you will, the earth from space. There's a dividing line between light and darkness where the light of the sun shines on one half of the earth. This side. Shines on one half of the earth, and the other half is turned to the blackness of space. As the earth spins, more light becomes visible to the east of the line. And if you're standing on the surface of the earth and you're on that line, as you walk towards the east, towards the sun, the sky lightens, your path becomes clearer. With each passing moment, the sky grows brighter and the light show of colors is spectacular. Now, my family, we enjoy vacationing at the beach. And my kids think I'm crazy, but every morning just before dawn, I get up, walk across the street to the 7-Eleven, buy a cup of coffee, walk down to the pool deck, sit next to the beach. Some of you are starting to like fall asleep and imagine what it feels like to be at the beach in the morning. But I get up, I do this, and I'm sitting there on the beach and I'm watching the sunrise over the ocean. And just, it's spectacular. It's one of my favorite things to do. The light show is incredible and each day is a little bit different. The colors in the sky, the clouds spreading, the sunlight as the sun approaches the horizon, the sun peeking over the horizon, and finally rising and reflecting off of the ocean. I'll leave that up there, so if you want to quit listening to me and imagine yourself, it's fine. I believe this is the picture that we're seeing here in this passage in Proverbs in verse 18. The path of the righteous is being compared with the dawn of the day in the east. With each step towards righteousness, we grow more and more wise so that we can see our way more clearly. In our earthly picture, with each step we take towards the Son, S-O-N, Jesus, striving to be more like him, our way is made clearer. This is a picture of sanctification. The closer we draw to him, the brighter the day becomes, making the path before us clearer. Does this mean that we're free from struggle? Obviously, no. But we have the source of light that we can look to so that we can make our way without stumbling, or rather, stumbling less. And as the sun, S-O-N, Jesus, rises throughout our lives, we will eventually find ourselves in his presence when this life is through, and we will fully experience the noonday brightness of his light. Whew, that's exciting. In addition, as this passage goes on to say, as we walk towards the sun and in his light, we spread that light in and on the world. So not only are we getting the light from him to illuminate our path, we have the privilege of spreading it and showing that light into the world. Matthew 5:14-16 reads, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Similar to the lenses that are in a lighthouse that magnify the small source of light coming within to illuminate the way for ships, we too are a lens. We are a lens to show forth the light of Christ into a dark world. The closer we draw to him, the brighter his light shines through us on this earth. In contrast, back to our original picture, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness in verse 19. Each step in wickedness is like walking towards the west. With one's back to the sun, the path grows more and more dark with each step. Eventually, it's too dark. It is so dark that a person's eyes can't even adjust and compensate for the darkness. Have you ever noticed how in the night it can be difficult to distinguish color? Everything is monochrome in very low light, until as light continues to diminish, you can barely see outlines. Once all the light is gone, you can see nothing. So it's like entering a cave. How many, have you ever been spelunking? As you enter the cave, you go deeper into it. You eventually cannot even see your hand in front of your face. Without a flashlight or a lantern, you can merely feel around trying to find your way. And if you want to experience really deep darkness, make your way to the center of a cave and extinguish your light. It's oppressive and freaky and scary. Similarly, in our example of the dividing line of light and darkness on the earth from before, the picture, as the wicked person walks to the west, away from the sun, they eventually find themselves unable to see anything. They are in deep, oppressive darkness, unable to navigate out of it. When the wicked cannot see, they stumble over unidentifiable objects. They grope in the darkness, trying to make their way with little to no progress forward. Often, they go in circles, stumbling over the same obstacles over and over. I'm sure you've gotten up in the middle of the night, like I have, thinking that you know the way through your house. I don't need a light. And you kick the bedpost and nearly break your toe, or you kick the coffee table and nearly break your toe. Likewise, the wicked cannot make out the dangers in the darkness that await them. They cannot see to judge that they are in deep peril. If they continue down this dark path, they will eventually fall into the pit that awaits at the end of this path that has no escape, no way of escape. Only when the light of the sun, S-O-N, Jesus, is introduced into their lives can they see what lies ahead of them and make their way out. This is a picture of repentance. Only when the wicked turn their backs to the darkness and face the sun in the east are they able to begin walking the way and to see their path that leads to righteousness. Pages are stuck together. So tonight we've been presented with two possible ways to walk through this life. The way of light and the way of darkness. The way of light leads to joy and peace and eventually eternal life. The way of darkness leads to fear and strife and eventually eternal death and punishment. In the context of Proverbs and really the entire Bible, the way of light is fearing God and following his commandments, and the way of darkness is denying God's authority and going your own way. 1 John 1:5-7 says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. God is light, and that light has been shown on earth through his son, Jesus." By putting our faith and trust in him, we have access to this light to illuminate our path through this life while living in through this life. While living in a fallen world, we still struggle and have difficulties. But with the Spirit of Christ lighting our way, we are more ready and able to identify and overcome the obstacles over which we stumble. And not only do we have access to the light, we have also been given the privilege of sharing the light with others who are walking in darkness. Like the person in a cave carrying the flashlight to show the others the way out. Choose today to walk in the path of light and share the light of Christ with those around you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. That was so helpful tonight. In fact, so good to have Bud with us tonight. Bud, thank you for being here. Would you lead us in prayer right now? Let's just thank God for his precious word.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have to be in your house tonight. And we thank you for your word, and thank you for these sweet brothers who brought forth the word tonight. And help us to truly live in the light, which is the light of Christ, and show other people that light, and they might be willing to come to you as our Lord and Savior. And we thank you once again for this opportunity to be here. I thank you for your healing touch on all of our lives. And we just pray, Lord, you will be with us as we go to our homes tonight. We thank you, Father, for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. We'll be a part of a church that ministers the word. You know, there's the ministry of the word is important for two reasons. One, we need it, so we needed what we heard tonight, and that's a big part of what happens. But another part of the ministry of the word is sort of what's happening on the second Sundays of the month, and that is the church is responsible to raise up the next generation of the preachers of the word. That's the church's job, and I'm thankful for this church. You value taking time to come and support men who are going to be the next generation of preachers. So thank you, brothers, for being a part of that.